Thank you, Stephen, for reading that so beautifully, with emphasis. Those of you who are visiting, you're very welcome here. If you don't know who I am, I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and I like to draw pictures very badly. So bear with me. I'm afraid normally we'd have a camera on it so you can see, but we don't have the camera set up today. But you guys on the front row will have the best view of my glorious drawing this morning. I don't know why that was, but actually I felt the Lord say, we're on holy ground. We're on holy ground this morning. We're on holy ground. Something about gathering in the name of Christ. You know, Hannah said, we individually are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what we know now. But we collectively, corporately, are also a temple of the Holy Spirit. So can we just affirm together, agree together, that we're on holy ground this morning? We're on holy ground. And that's important when we start to think about this picture here. And what I want to say today, any mountain climbers amongst us? Anyone like to climb a mountain? I used to do it a lot more when we were younger, and then children came along and discovered that actually it's quite hard climbing mountains with children. We had to bribe Holly Up Snowden once. Every 500 meters, she was given a chocolate finger. We got her all the way to the top. Amazing. But I enjoy the finished, the end game, if you like, the reaching the top. I have to confess, I'm not a big fan of the going up bit. We climbed a mountain just before Christmas. Angie and I did a little cheeky trip to Malaga to see our son run the marathon out there. Can you see that? There we are on top of a mountain. It was amazing. The views, the vista was just glorious. But as you can see on your right, we went up in the cable car, €12 each. It's a lot easier. I wasn't going to say that today. I was pondering what to say about climbing mountains. And again, I just, as we were worshipping in the house of prayer before we came down here, there's something, and just hold this, I haven't thought this through, but there's something about the climb. There's something about the climb. The climb, friends, is hard. That was easy. We got all the joy. We did walk down. And I have to confess, I may have been a little grumpy. It was 11 kilometres back to where we stayed. And I hadn't quite appreciated that. So anyway, I repented and apologized to my wife. The climb is hard sometimes. It takes effort and it takes energy. It takes determination. It takes discipline. But it's worth it. Hold that thought. I just feel that's something that the Lord wants to underline to us today as we think about this chapter. Okay, we can take the screen off now. Thank you, Sunday. A key part of this chapter that we are looking at today is a mountaintop experience. The mountain is it's like a metaphor, more to talk about, understand how God is connected and relates to this world. The ancients would look up and see the mountain, and they'd see the sky coming down and touching the mountain. It was always that place where heaven and earth met. The sky came down. It was always believed to be a place of power. It's where the wisdom and power of God would be revealed. Think about it. Abraham goes up to the mountain. When he was tested with Isaac, he's given this promise about his descendants. Yet this question, this test comes that would directly challenge that. It happens. on the mountain. Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God. He laid before him 40 days. That's just one little verse, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? One little verse. He laid face down before the Lord. But that's where the law was received. David built the city of Jerusalem on a mountain, on a hill. It was where he would reign from, but it was the center of worship for the Jewish nation. They would go to that place. Many still do, because that's where God lived. They believe he dwelt in the temple. So many of the Psalms, Hannah read one to us earlier, Psalm 24, the last bit, the context is the celebration of going up to Jerusalem. I've read it that it could be linked with when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and they're knocking on the door. We want to come in with his presence. So, God's presence and his power was connected to. There was this symbolism in the mountaintop. But Jesus' coming changed all this. God's presence and power was no longer a distant, far off, almost unattainable thing for some. It was now something that could be encountered and known personally because of what Jesus. The mountaintop, as that place of God's presence and power, becomes a daily reality for the followers of Christ. And I was pondering this, and I think it's about restoring the original call that was upon humanity. God desired, he designed for his beloved image bearers to show the world what he was like, to display his glory, to fill and subdue the world. That was the role that he gave us as humanity, and that was what was restored in the cross. Now, the New Testament continues to use this mountaintop motif to help us understand what God was doing. And we come to a classic example of this in Mark 9. And I want to use it today to help us see, as a sort of give us understanding of both our position in Christ, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, but also how we walk that out in reality. It's called the transfiguration or transformation of Jesus. The word in the original language of the Bible, you'll recognize it. It's metamorpho. Metamorpho. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. Are you laughing at my pronunciation, Craig? It's about being changed from one form to another, to transform, to transfigure. It's what Paul uses in Romans when he says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In this moment, I think we have a snapshot, a glimpse of the fullness of heaven on earth as Jesus is transfigured. He is changed right before his disciples' eyes. They see him in his glory. Then Moses and Elijah rock up. What's that all about? Well, Moses represents the law, and Elijah, the prophets. This is all about pointing to who Christ is and what he has come to do. Then God speaks. What does he say? He says, "This is my son. I love him. Listen to him." And then it's just a cloud and all this going on. It's a true mountaintop experience. This moment of heaven powerfully touching earth was marked by three things. Where's my pen gone? Marked by transformation. Formation. It's marked by revelation. and it's marked by affirmation. You see that? So Jesus is transformed. There's revelation of who he is, and then there's an affirmation of who he is too. So I want to suggest today that the mountaintop is a place of transformation, revelation, and affirmation. Okay? Hold that thought. I want to also suggest today that in Christ, Jesus came to bring the mountaintop to us. This is no longer something that is distant and far off, the mountaintop experience. As I've said already, it's about what happens on the mountaintop becoming part of our daily reality. Yeah? Okay, how do we get there? How do we climb this mountain? Hannah gave us a clue earlier in our opening psalm. Does anyone remember? Psalm 24. What does it say? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands, pure hearts, and? Somebody spoke. It's a bit more than that. You're right, Dave, but it's about actually not bowing to idols. It's not bowing to idols. I think sometimes we stop at the clean hands and the pure heart, but actually the next bit is about truth, and it's about not bowing down to idols. So I want to think for a little bit about how we climb the hill of the Lord, how we enter into this place of transformation, revelation, and affirmation. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. I love this psalm. It's one I go back to. Did you know that this was the psalm that was being read on the eve of the outbreak of the revival in the Hebrides? There was a group of church leaders gathering in this place, praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, praying for God to break into their, I think it was Lewis, one of the islands. Anyway, there's a number of islands that were touched. They were praying, and somebody just said this. Come on, guys. This is what it says here. And he said, are our hands clean? Are our hearts pure? And they got on their knees, and they repented. They repented and the Holy Spirit fell. I'll be honest with you, it's a very interesting read about what happened next. I would use the phrase, it was a bit bonkers. Good bonkers. But the Holy Spirit fell and these men and women were touched deeply by the presence and the power of God. I want us to just think about these simple steps that we have in this psalm that lead us to this place of living and dwelling on the mountaintop, this place of transformation, revelation, and affirmation. We good? The first step is clean hands. Clean hands. This is what it says in Romans. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? All have sinned and fallen short. If I was going to summarize that, that's what I would summarize that as. This was an expression, a moment where God just revealed himself, something of who he is, touched the earth. What Romans says is we've all sinned and fallen short. So sin gets in the way of us. Wrongdoing in our lives gets in the way. The impact that we've been doing Alpha at the moment, it's the pollution and the power of sin robs us sometimes of being in this place, yeah? And Jesus comes. This is what it says about Jesus. It says, he who had no sin became sin for us. What's the next bit? So that we might become the righteousness of God. Guys, without Jesus, we're stuffed. I'm absolutely convinced. I hope my life is a testimony to that. But without Jesus and his death on the cross, we're stuffed. Without his shed blood, we cannot set foot on this mountain. We'd be like those Israelites of old, cowering because they were carrying their sin into the presence of God. It just doesn't work. That sin has got to be dealt with. And Jesus deals with it. He who had no sin became sin. He took the judgment that should have been ours, so we don't have to face it. And we can draw near to God. We can put foot on this mountain. That's the blessing, the benefit, the joy of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. When you trust in him, he washes you clean. Easter Sunday, we're going to open this baptistry. We hope. Got to double check some dates. But if not Easter Sunday, one Sunday, we're going to open this baptistry. And we're going to dunk someone in it. Right under. And it's like a big bath. It's like a big public bath. Yeah? A big bath. Because it represents what's happening inwardly in an outward way. It says you're cleansed and you're washed by the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. Okay? So that's like the first step up the mountain. You need to take that step. If you haven't taken that step, then you'll go through life living with the power, the influence, the impact of that sin upon your life. Jesus washes us clean so that we can be free from it. Okay? Are we all good? Right. What's the next step? Clean hands, pure hearts. So, talked about in the Gospels, in Matthew, at the beginning, in Matthew 5 and 6. And there we have the Sermon on the Mount. Another place where there's significant revelation up a hill. I don't know if it was a mountain or not, but it was certainly, that's what it's referred to. What does Jesus say, particularly in Matthew 5? He says, blessed or happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And he says, do anyone know what he says after that? They will see God. So blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. This word see is a really interesting one. Those of you who don't know, the language of the Bible, it wasn't written in English. It was written in the New Testament. It was written in New Testament Greek. And some of these words have deeper, richer meanings than the English that we read. This is what the word see means. To see with eyes, yes. Mind, that's slightly different, isn't it? To perceive. To know. How about this one? To become acquainted with by experience. To become acquainted with by experience. It's more than something that we simply look at. It's an immersive experience. The pure in heart will have an immersive experience of God. Isn't that wonderful? The pure in heart will have an immersive experience of God. The biblical heart is not this thing that pounds in our chests. I've said this before, a better rendering, if you like, of the original language is bowels. This. Here, the seat of the emotions, the depths of your being. The biblical heart is about your affections and your ambitions, and it's about your attitudes. It's about all of who you are and how who you are shapes your actions. And Jesus says this, there needs to be purity in each of those aspects of our lives. There needs to be an aligning with each of those and the cleansing that we have in Christ. So it starts here. We are washed clean. But then it's got to look like something. We work it out in our lives. It starts shaping who we are, what we do, what we long for. Our ambitions, our affections, our hopes, our dreams are to be affected by this cleansing and forgiveness that we have in Christ. It's about living out, being influenced by the cleansing we've encountered through the cross, so that we can dwell and live in his glory on this mountaintop. Okay, we good? Are we clear? So it's clean hands, pure hearts. I've pondered how to write out this next bit of the psalm, but I'm just going to do this. Jesus as Lord. It's about Jesus being Lord of our lives. It's not bowing to anything else except him and his will and his purposes for us. When God is first in your life, when he is Lord, let me say this, it changes everything. It changes everything. We have it in our vision statement. If you turn and look just above Zach's head there, it says, inside out living. It says for us all to be seeking to live free from the negative influence of the world. Can you lean forward for me a bit, Zach? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And for the primary influence in our lives to be our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's about living from the place that he lives within us. Not from the world, the flesh, and the demonic, and the influence of those forces and powers that can come crushing in. When we live by according to who he is in us, then we live free from those things. If we live from them, I think it has an impact upon our experience of what it means to be in glory on that mountaintop place of his transformation and revelation and his affirmation. I realize I'm saying things that might seem black and white. It's not. It's complicated and messy and muddly and a mixture of all this, but I think in principle, I'm right. When we live by these other things, it affects our experience of who God is in our lives. Friends, we believe that the lie of the enemy, we believe that when we believe the lie of the enemy or assimilate the world into our lives or elevate our own wants and needs or desires above God's best for us, it can so easily shape our awareness and experience of the place we hold as a child of God. Our experience of the mountaintop place, of that constant and connection and close. It doesn't take the connection away. It just affects and impacts our experience of it. We need to be continually bringing our hearts before the Lord. We need to be examining them, being honest with ourselves and asking the Lord by his Holy Spirit to shed light on them. I had to do it this week. And it was like somebody said something, and it was like, do you know what? Somebody said something, and suddenly I was in a place. It was a reaction to what was said. And it wasn't very positive. And it wasn't very kind of uplifting. But I just went there in an instant. I realized as I reflected on what was said and the origins of it and the, you know, where this came from, I realized that I hadn't forgiven someone. There was a situation, it was a historic situation, and I still hadn't gone before the Lord and said, do you know what? I forgive that person for what they did to me. I forgive that person. Yeah? And that's just an example of that, bringing our hearts to the Lord and making sure that they are pure. and we are living under his lordship and not in accordance with these other things. How are we doing, all right? So, clean hands, pure hearts, Jesus is Lord. We could say his kingdom first, his rule and reign on every into this place, this mountaintop place, place of glory, transformation, revelation, affirmation. And then something happens. And I always, you read it, and it was just like, in an instant, it all goes. And I was trying to think about an example. Does anyone watch Michael McIntyre on a Saturday night sometimes? And they do this thing called, was it late night or game show, where they basically break into someone's house. Someone's in on it in the house. And they do this game show in the middle of the night while this person is asleep in their bed. They'll wake up and suddenly there'll be these people from their past. And it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. But at the end, they just say, right, switch the lights, and everybody goes. And the people are just laid in bed going, what just happened? It's a bit like COVID. What's just happened? Well, the end of COVID. What's just happened? I wonder if the disciples looking on with Jesus and Elijah and Moses and clouds and just thought, and it just went. And I wonder if they just thought, what just happened? What just happened? And I was pondering this and I was thinking about, I wonder if it marked them. If it marked them. Because what Jesus said is, right, come on, let's go. And they left the mountain. And I believe what we see, and I'm conscious that there's a lot of stuff in that chapter that we could spend weeks and weeks with people here trying to explain. It's difficult stuff. It's complicated stuff. But can we just sort of almost shelve the detail and just say, actually, what this is an example of is what happens when we take the mountain with us. Because what we see in the rest of Mark 9 is transformation, don't we? We see revelation and we see affirmation. It's like they came down from the mountain, carrying the mountain with them, and they're faced by a child, a father desperate for his child's healing, and there's healing. There's transformation. And then the father says, oh, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Revelation. Jesus starts saying, look at the little children, look at the poor. Affirmation. And I guess I'm reading into the chapter a little bit here, forgive me for that, but I don't think I'm wide of the mark. But I think when the mountain goes with us, we see these things, transformation, revelation. Affirmation. We see deliverance, healing, and freedom. We see faith rising, prayer and fasting happening. We see the poor being cared for and honored, and children being seen as they should. Now, I'm going to take a moment to use this mountaintop metaphor and take it a little further on this AGM Sunday. Now, often, sometimes we say it's AGM, and what happens is we all just sigh a little bit because there's some legal stuff that the Charity Commission dictates that we do as part of our being a charity. I can cope with it because actually there's great benefit to this also. But do stay and you'll hear about some of those things. We try and protect you from the really boring stuff and try and make it about really celebrating what we are about as a church. Because I think there's something individual in this. But there's something also that is about our corporate life together. It's interesting what Peter did, wasn't it? Remember, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is there, shining in all his glory. Moses is there, Elijah there. What does Peter say? He's going to put a tent up. One for you, Jesus. Reading into it here, but I wonder if actually what Peter is saying is that I don't want this moment to end. I want to live in that place. I want to put up a shelter because I don't want this moment to end. I think sometimes we come to church on a Sunday. I don't know about you, the worship this morning, it's often, not always, but often, we feel and sense God's presence amongst us. Stephen's bare feet, or not bare feet, he had his socks on. But, you know, I think that reflected something of what we tasted and experienced this morning. And I think we've got to be a little careful with that. Because if we make it about that, we kind of miss the point a little bit. Because we can make it all about our transformation, revelation to us, affirmation of who we are. And it's all good stuff. But they climbed down from the mountain. They took the mountain with them. And we come here. And I want this. I know we all want this to be a place where people's hearts are changed and transformed. And praise God, we see it week in, week out. I want this to be a place where we hear what God is saying through his word. There is revelation that drops into. Revelation is not just learning something. Revelation is when something drops into your mind and into your heart and it changes you. I want to see that happening week in, week out. Affirmation. I want this here to be a place where you grow, we grow in our understanding of who we are in Christ, our God-given identity, because that changes everything. But if we just come wanting that, we're missing the point. The point is that we go from this place and we take that mountaintop with us so that we can be a conduit through which God can minister his transformation to those around us. Said last week, simple yet powerful prayer that we can pray. Can I pray for you? Now, James, you said it this week, didn't you? On the spot at work. And you said to someone, can I pray for you? That's an opportunity for God to use you to bring about. Who is that? It's an opportunity for you to bring revelation into situations and circumstances and places that God has put you, as you hear and receive, and God pours into you, you can then pour into others. And as you are affirmed in who you are as a child of God, you can start to call out the greatness in others. Totally lost my place. Right, can we have that picture up? Sunday, let's go back. I'm going to push this out the way because I want everyone to see this. We're going to celebrate some of those things that we do as a church that reflects that in a few moments at the AGM. Because I was at a conference this week and it was really interesting. It was a Baptist thing. For those of you who don't know, we're part of this network of churches in the Southwest called the Southwest Baptist Association. It was really good to celebrate what is going on in the churches of the Southwest. But Linda and I were there, and I sat there, and I just leant over and said to Linda, that's every Monday morning for us. Every Monday morning, we sit at team meeting. Chris testified to this, and Chris is going to share a little bit later. Every Monday morning, we sit and we go around the team about what God is doing in each of the different areas that we are part of and we invest in as a church. Every Monday morning, we just get the cream. There is so much going on in and through the life of this church. Okay? And that's just what we organized, what we facilitate. I know if we open it up to all you guys, because this is not just about what we do as a church, it's about you leaving this place with the mountaintop with you, and as you minister to those around you, and your homes and your places of work, and you know. So, but this is what I want to leave you. So there's me and Ange. That's from the top. As you can see, I've hardly broken a sweat. And the reason being is because I went up in the cable car. And I was glad to go up in the cable car because coming down was horrible. But I missed an opportunity going up in that cable car that sense of achievement, that sense of hard work, graft, determination. I'll go easy option every time when it comes to climbing, I have to confess. I was really hard coming down, Paul. Yeah, that's right. Could have paid £4 extra and come down in the cable car. Look, what I'm saying is this, is that if it was just as easy as putting our trust in Jesus and everything, then it's just not. Yes, you need to put your trust in Jesus. That's the only way to step onto this mountain, to start entering into this place. But you need pure hearts, and you need to honour and place him as Lord in your life. And what I'm saying is that sometimes that takes discipline, graft, hard work. There is a relationship between the word discipline and the word disciple. You take the easy route, and I think we hang around down here somewhere. Sorry, not sorry. Pure hearts, it's just working out who we are, living from the place that he lives within you. Jesus is Lord. Nothing comes before him in my life. Because if I start living under the rule of anything else, I know that there will be limit, lack, negative impact. It's not going to help me. Amen. The children are going to come back in a moment, and we're going to get the report for the kids. For those of you who don't know, is that all that our children, youth, and family stuff that happens at that end of the building. They're going to come in back in and share in a few moments. But let me pray for us, guys in the band. Can you come up? We're going to sing this song called Abide. So that's what this is all about. I'm going to ask you to stand. Jesus, we thank you that in the cross, through the shedding of your blood, there is the open invitation to every single person in this place to have our sins forgiven. You, who had no sin, became sin for us. You took the judgment that should have been ours upon yourself, so we don't have to. So we just accept that now, and we celebrate that now. We love you, Lord, for what you've done, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, all that it means and symbolizes and the significance of it. But Lord, we want our hearts to be a reflection of what you've done within us in that. We want them to be pure. We want who we are in you to shape all of who we are. We know it doesn't. We know there's stuff that goes on in our minds and hearts that is not in keeping with you. And we just say we're sorry now. We just repent. We say forgive us, Lord, and help us to be renewed in our minds, transformed in our thinking as we turn to you. To your will, to your purposes. And Lord, we place you in this moment as Lord of our lives. And we believe, Lord, as we keep our hands clean and our hearts pure, and we keep you as Lord, Lord, then we can walk in the mountaintop, that place of glory. We can know ongoing, constant transformation, revelation, affirmation. That can be our story to tell in the middle of the night, in the workplace, at school, college, in the quiet moments and the noisy moments, when the pressure's on and the storm is raging and when life is good. But we want to be a mountaintop people. We want to be a mountaintop people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, sorry. Before